Thank you for listening to Issues Etc., and thanks to all of you who have chipped in to help support the show. Listener contributions are the reason we can do this, so thanks.
My guest in this hour, Dr. A.L. Berry, is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he joins us to talk about evangelism, specifically about an evangelism campaign launched by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod called Tell the Good News About Jesus. Dr. Berry, welcome to Issues Etc.
It's good to be here.
What's it like to be the president of a 2.5 million member church body?
Challenging. I think most of the people would recognize that, and yet one recognizes that you simply fulfill those various responsibilities that have been given to you as best you can, turning to the Lord in prayer, asking Him to bless and to lead you, and undoubtedly He hears those prayers and He answers those prayers. So I would say it's a very challenging position, but also it's a very rewarding one in that you are able to see all across the church the people of God as they serve Him, worship Him, and hopefully speak about Him.
You served the church as a parish pastor for some years.
Yes, I did. I was in Minnesota for about 14 years as a parish pastor, and I enjoyed every moment of it. In fact, many people will often tell me, you know, you still act like a parish pastor, and that's one of the nicest compliments that anybody can give me. People will say, you know, well, how do you want to be called? Do you want to be called President Berry or Dr. Berry? And I said, well, how about Pastor Berry? Because that fits me quite well.
Now, when I left the parish just recently to take this job as host of Issues, etc., a lot of people viewed that as something of a promotion. But I was quick to point out that this was not a promotion. This was really a demotion, that leaving the parish as a pastor, everything there is a step down in a sense. And maybe those who haven't served as a pastor may not fully understand that. Do you feel the same way about that?
Definitely. And, you know, it's an unusual thing. I will talk with people and I will make the same statement that the highest office in the church, one that we can respect the greatest, is that of a parish pastor. In fact, I will tell people, if you want to see this church body at its very best, then go to the congregational level, because you will see the people of God being served by the servant of God with the word of God, and that's tremendous. That's not to put down the other areas of service, such as the one that you have for KFUO, or the one that I have serving our synod in the synodical office. But I really believe that if you want to see our church body at its very best, and you want to see ministry at its very best, then go to the parish.
When you came into the job as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I'm certain that you were intimidated by the task that lay before you, and especially by the people of long history that had occupied that office before you as well.
I don't know if I would say I was intimidated, because I felt quite confidently that that's where God wanted me to be. I can remember when we were driving from eastern Iowa over to the Pittsburgh Convention where I was elected. My wife said to me, well, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I don't have the slightest idea, but this I know. If God wants us to stay in Iowa, we will stay in Iowa and serve Him there. And if God wants us to go to St. Louis, we'll go to St. Louis and serve Him there. So when at the Pittsburgh Convention the voting was going on, you know, I saw a lot of people. They were excited, even tense. Some were sitting at tables praying and what have you. I felt very relaxed, because to me it was just a matter of once again letting God lead this church and lead my life through the people of this church.
What do you think is the biggest theological challenge facing not only our church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but Christendom today?
Theological challenge. I suppose there's any number of ways that I could answer that. I think one of the biggest challenges that I sense facing the church today is to get the people of God who are Christian into the Word of God. Now, some people might say, well, that's not a theological challenge, but in a way it is very much of a theological challenge. Here in the Word of God, we have our God coming to us again and again and telling us of His grace, His forgiveness, His strength, His, you know, and the list goes on and on some more. And yet, there is a reticence on the part of many people to be in the Word the way God would have them, and that puzzles me greatly. Now, if you're talking about a theological challenge, it is continuing to hold Jesus Christ up for what He is and what He proclaimed Himself to be, the one and only way to come to the Father, the only means of salvation.
You know as well as I do that simple truth, Christ is the only way of salvation, and that it is by faith alone in Him that a man is reconciled with our God.
Yes.
And inherits eternal life. You know that that truth is not held now commonly by many who call themselves Christians. There are whole denominations where pastors and people are free to deny that truth.
Yes, unfortunately, that is the case. I can remember a while back being at a meeting where other denominations were present, and I was sitting across the table from a pastor of another congregational entity, and we got off on this question. And we were talking about various things, and I said, I'm going to point to what I think is the key question. What must I do to be saved? And I said, you have two answers there. You have it very clearly from the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you turn into the book of Acts, and it's very interesting there. It says, there is no name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And it seems to me that it's disappointing when I see people within Christendom begin to act as though there are a multitude of ways in which a person can be saved. It's just maybe that you're sincere, and that's all that really counts. But we as Christians, without becoming negative or heavily augmented or something like that, we need to again and again profess to those around us what I think is the cardinal truth of the Christian faith. That Jesus Christ, God, man, came, lived, died, rose victorious, and that through faith in him and him alone, we are saved. And put it in as positive and winsome a manner as possible. And then let the Holy Spirit do his thing.
Given the kind of dire picture that we may have painted in the last few exchanges right. Between you and I, what are you most excited about in the church today?
The thing that I'm the most excited about in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is that we have introduced an emphasis, it's not a program, an emphasis that we are calling Tell the Good News About Jesus.
Let me stop you there for a second. Why not a program?
Well, I think because the word program, people somewhat react negatively to that. And what we have decided is that this emphasis, the goal of this emphasis, is to help our people recognize not only the joy of their salvation in Jesus Christ, but in a variety of ways to express that. It doesn't have to be done one way. One district, one congregation, one entity will do it one way, another will do it another way, as long as the message remains the same. And I kind of chuckled, you know, when I went out and we first started introducing this, we'd say it's not a program, it's an emphasis, why you could kind of hear people saying, thank God it's not a program. And then the next question that they would say, what are you going to supply us with? You know, and I kind of chuckled at that because what they were almost beginning to ask for were programmatic things. But to me, it is an emphasis that has as its basic goal to help our people recognize more and more clearly in their own lives the salvation that is theirs in Jesus Christ, and then to do, as it says about Philip, that when he met with the Ethiopian eunuch, he opened his mouth and told him the good news about Jesus. And that's where we picked up the theme of the emphasis, tell the good news about Jesus.
The Old Testament says, and St. Paul quotes this passage, I believed, therefore I spoke. And of course, there's a multitude of passages in the New Testament
yes.
that urge the church on toward speaking the message about Jesus Christ. And we have the example of the church in Acts, anxious to speak about Jesus, even in the face of persecution. We have a world, at least the American culture, where we have almost unlimited religious freedom.
Yes.
And yet the culture, when we speak the word of the gospel, as you have just so clearly articulated it, the culture, our society around us, to them this sounds like, well, to put it in Paul's terms, like foolishness mm-hmm. and like something that we can't get over. It's a stumbling block.
Yeah. It's not my job to convince someone. It is only my job to witness and then let the Holy Spirit do his thing. You know, anybody who knows Al Berry knows that one of the things I enjoy doing is every day I look for one person that I can share the faith with. And often when I'm jetting here, there, or someplace else, if I'm in 8A, whoever's in 8C gets it, you know. And the reason I say 8A and 8C is because I was recently flying back from Houston. And I had about an hour and a half, and I found myself sitting in one of the seats waiting to board next to this man, and we got talking. From there, I then went onto the plane, and lo and behold, I was sitting in 8C, and he had the seat in 8A. And he said, isn't that interesting? I found out he had heard that my wife had passed away, and he began to tell me that his 18-year-old son had been killed in an automobile accident. And I began to talk with him. I began to share with him the comfort and the salvation in Jesus Christ. It was just a tremendous thing. And he turned to me as we drew closer to St. Louis, and he says, "You know, I don't think it's just by chance that God put you and me beside each other on this plane." And that's what I'm trying to tell our people out there. It isn't by chance that you're sitting across the table visiting with someone. It isn't just by chance.
God gives the opportunity.
God gives you the opportunity, and simply tell them what you have come to see in Jesus Christ, and what holds true for you, holds true for them.
Dr. Berry, we're going to pick this up after we go to a break, and when we come back from that break, we're going to talk a little bit more about that emphasis. Not the program, the emphasis, tell the good news about Jesus. And get your reaction to a recent thing in the news that there was a very negative reaction against the Southern Baptist Convention sending 100,000 missionaries to Chicago this summer. Negative from the Christian community in Chicago, saying that this is too exclusivistic a message. Jesus is the only way of salvation. When we come back from the break, we're going to deal with that. I just want to remind our listeners that we're broadcasting live from the Southern Illinois District Convention in Collinsville. We're talking about evangelism in this hour with Dr. A.L. Berry, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You heard the story about the Southern Baptist Convention, their effort to send 100,000 missionaries this summer to Chicago, and about the negative reaction from the Jewish community. But what surprised me more, the negative reaction, and it was published, from the Christian community in Chicago, saying, "You can't come here and preach about Jesus. That's too exclusive of a message." How would you respond to that?
Well, needless to say, when I heard that, I was really surprised. In fact, I thought it was neat that the Baptists had decided to send this number of people into Chicago to witness to their faith. And to all at once say, you know, that they're doing something that is wrong, and to find some within the Christian community saying that they are doing something that is wrong, this really surprised me. I would commend them, genuinely commend them, on the fact that they have tried to reach out with this clear message of salvation in Jesus Christ in this particular way.
Now, Baptists have a reputation for being mission-minded, evangelism-type people. That is a reputation that, really, in spite of what they do, they don't shake that reputation. Why is it that Lutherans sometimes have the reputation of having no thought or emphasis on telling the good news about Jesus, evangelism?
Well, I think it's because our people have not as yet realized and been challenged adequately to recognize all the opportunities they have of sharing their faith with someone else. I often say that one of the places to begin in sharing your faith, after, of course, your realization of the joy of the salvation that is yours, one of the places is with your own loved ones, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, to just say what your faith in Jesus Christ means to you and why it is so extremely important to you. I think that's very important. As people then begin to do that, I think they will be more and more led to opening their mouth, I hope, and sharing the message with others. We in the Lutheran faith have put a very high priority, and rightly so, on the preserving of the truth of God's word among us. We have not put as high a priority on the sharing of that truth. We have found ourselves sort of sitting on it at times. And now, the tell the good news about Jesus emphasis is to help our people not only rejoice in the truth of the word of God that has been handed to us as a church body, a great treasure, but also then to open their mouths and share it with others and simply sow the seed and let God do the rest.
My producer sitting behind me, Jeff Schwartz, often says about this show, the task of this show, it's right there on the placard behind us, to teach and defend the truth.
Yeah.
Well, people would say, you Lutherans do too much of that, teaching and defending the truth. But what I've discovered, and Jeff has pointed out this to me on many occasions, is that in the course of doing that, the gospel is spoken sometimes so clearly, especially as it's set over against error. And in an effort to preserve the truth and to teach it, the gospel is proclaimed and evangelism is done.
I mean, yes,
this show
definitely
serves as one of the best evangelism tools that we've got.
Yes. You know, I'll cite another instance for you. It happened about a year and a half or 2 years back. I was flying up to Seattle, and again, you know, I forget what seat I was sitting in, but I was on the three seats side. And the man was sitting in the middle, and his wife, his wife was sitting next to the window. My, he was dressed up, you know, fit to kill. He had a, just as though he had come out of haberdashery. And so I told him I like to share my faith with one person every day in Jesus Christ, and I decided whoever was sitting beside me today on that flight would hear the good news in Christ. And so he talked with me, and I talked with him. And to make a long story short, pretty soon he identified himself as a Baptist pastor going to Alaska to have a revival. And he said, I didn't know Lutherans did this. And I said, we're working at it, boy. We're working at it. He said, wait till I get to Alaska and tell the Baptists in Alaska, even the Lutherans are now doing it.
I got cornered on a plane by a Lutheran pastor who wouldn't let me leave until he told me the gospel. That's a good story. Why should Lutherans, what should Lutherans do to try and put more support behind genuine biblical evangelism? What kind of things can the individual Lutheran do to say, we've got a great biblical message that we preserve? What can they do to put support behind the speaking of that message?
Biblical evangelism. Well, I think one thing is themselves being in the Word. You know, if you're going to speak a biblical evangelism, you yourself have to know what the Scriptures say. You have to pick that up in Bible classes. You pick it up in, like I call, adult confirmation-type settings and what have you. But then there are certain very basic truths. The two basic truths are the law and the gospel. The one is that we daily sin much, deserve God's wrath, can't save ourselves, can't earn forgiveness with God. But then the other aspect of the second good news is that in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. Now, if we can take those basic biblical truths, hang on to them, keep rejoicing in them, keep speaking them, that's the emphasis I think we have to follow.
It's easy to say, Dr. Berry, I need to have an emphasis on law and gospel. And so I'm going to tell that person next to me the law, and I'm going to tell them the gospel. Shouldn't a person who is ready to speak the law to his neighbor first speak that law to himself?
Oh, definitely. You know, I find that when I'm preaching, I always include myself with the people in saying, you know, that Al Berry daily sins much and indeed deserves nothing but God's wrath and damnation. And I'm just like you because you do exactly the same thing. We're together in this. But there's another thing that we're together in. If the people with whom we are speaking recognize that we recognize concerning ourselves that we are sinners, not self-pious type of something or others, but that we are sinners needing the forgiveness of God and Jesus Christ, they will listen very, very carefully to our message.
That's a message that few people hear and few people speak in this world today.
Yes.
Is that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. And when we see it, like on the public stage with President Clinton, sometimes it seems forced, sometimes it seems artificial,
yeah,
or a political necessity.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting in the plane with someone, or in the grocery line with someone, and you say, you know what, I am a sinner, and I need Jesus.
You know, I can only think of three times in all the people I've spoken with on the planes that they really got irritated with me. One of them, I was flying back from San Francisco, and I was sitting next to this fellow, and I told him, you know, I always try to speak with someone every day concerning my faith in Jesus Christ, and I decided whoever sits in your seat gets it. And he says, well, he says, I take it you're another one of those crazy born-again Christians. And for 4 hours, he hammered at me as I shared with him again and again the Word of God. And I felt kind of bloodied up, you might say. And when I got back to the office, one of my staff men said to me, but remember, Al, you sowed the seed. You sowed the seed. And God has promised that the seed that is sown will not return unto him void.
We leave that in God's hands.
We leave it in his hands.
If you appreciate this Issues Etc. Classic, please consider making a tax-deductible donation today. You can make a financial contribution by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the difficult summer months.